welcome to the Atma Podcast. It's Lozzie, your boy, here by himself. Speaking about himself in the third person, because that's what he does now. Welcome everyone from wherever you're watching or listening. I am going to be solo today. Jordan is still in Thailand as of this going up and me recording this. So, Jordan, if you are ever listening to this back or watching it, I hope you're having a good time. Or, I hope you had a good time. Because that's how time works. You know, past and the present. You know, that's how it works. I'm reliably informed. Look, today it's going to be me. Dan, I don't think, can do this week's episode of the live stream at 5:30. So I've taken the decision to just do another solo one. I'm going away the weekend this goes up. So I just want to get this done and dusted, ready, and there just for everyone to listen and watch when they want. Today, we'll be going through a few of the things that annoy me. Little things. They're not like big things like, you know, the economy. Because that just annoys everyone. I'm talking about the really specific things, you know, the things that you get way, way, way too angry and upset at when you compare it to the, you know, the grand scheme of things, you know? Because I do that a lot. Like, I do that a lot. There's a lot of stuff that it's just, in my mind, unnecessary, and it really does ruin my entire life. Only for a few moments. Alright, maybe for half an hour. Or an hour. Or a week. But it's not permanent. Until it happens again. Then. I'm glad that this country doesn't have the same sort of, let's say, rules on firearms as America, because there'll be a lot of people with holes in them. And I'll probably be one of them. I mean, fucking hell. Can't get away with that many shootings. Oh, look, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to shoot someone over something so petty like that. Am I? Would you? I don't know. Some of these things I'm about to say, I'm sure other people feel the same way. I know at least two or three people do, because there's a few of these things that have come up in conversation with other people, and that annoys them. Not having a conversation with me, although, you know, that is debatable. Some people probably don't like having a conversation with me. I do go on the odd tangent a bit, don't we? Don't I? Now I'm speaking as a collective. That's, you know, I'm evolving. Stay hydrated, everyone. This is not sponsored by Nestle Pure Life. I'm reliably informed that they want nothing to do with me. And you know how I know that? Because I've heard fuck all from them. That's a sip. Don't worry, there's tap water in there. I do buy bottles of water, but I can't be having more than one a day. Fucking hell, I ain't made of money. Also, not to kick it off with this point, bottled water is more expensive than, well, one, more expensive than it should be, and two, more expensive than, I don't know how much my water bill is, right? I think it's around £50 a month. That is, does include sewage, and I do use that quite a lot. And it's not a pay as you go, but trust me, when my ass cooks up a fucking hot broth, Jesus Christ, that 50 quid looks like a bargain to deal with the sewage that is coming out of my ass. But anyway, so 50 quid for water and sewage together. Now, the water that I buy, I normally go for the cheapest spring water, bottled water there is. Unfortunately, the local shop, corner shop that I live near, Pure Life is the only water, bottled water that they do in like packs of 12. At £3 each. So I know you could probably get them cheaper at a supermarket. I'm pretty sure the last one I got was £2.50 for a pack of 12. But, yeah. I mean, realistically, you probably should have two of those a day. Right? I'm getting very specific. And I did say this was going to get specific. Like, things that piss you off. I didn't mean to open with this one. But we'll continue going with it. Because, you know, I'm the only one here who's going to disagree with me. Apart from myself. And that'd be mental. Yeah, so two of those a day. So that would last me 6 days. So that's basically, for myself, £3 basically every week on water. Yeah, I'm starting to rethink some decisions in my life, but I just refuse to rely on the tap water here to hydrate me because it just doesn't do anything. It's literally just lobbing some liquid down your throat. It's not great. The quality of the water is not great, and you just never feel hydrated. Well, I could drink two of those bottles and feel hydrated, and then, you know, I could drink like four glasses of water, like pint glasses, at the tap, and I just don't feel hydrated at all. Also, depends where you live in the UK, but I've heard of some gnarly things being found in the water supply. And let's not go into, you know, the water companies dumping my shit into, you know, reservoirs and rivers, because, you know what I mean, it's pretty shit, isn't it? It's not great. I mean, if you looked at the colour of the water across the UK, I would say the last thing that it needs is more shit. Personally, humble opinion, I think our reservoirs and rivers and seas could probably do with less shit in them. I'm not saying, you know, the colour of the water is the only thing that matters, you know. But it goes away, you know, it goes a little bit of a way to, you know, you're thinking, okay, this water looks like watered down shit. I probably won't swim in that. I probably won't let anyone swim in that. But then if you actually told people that you were yeeting shit into these reservoirs and waters, whatever, rivers and that, I reckon they probably wouldn't swim in them either, you know? It's pretty rank. Anyway, that's my take, if you want to call it a take, on water companies being wankers, I guess. And we pay them for that privilege. And of course, we're paying more now. That's how it works. You know, we pay them a monthly fee to deal with the water supply and the sewage. They turn around and go, do you know what? I've had enough. I don't want to deal with your shit for £30 a month. Let's lob the shit in the rivers. No, let's fucking do it. Let's fucking do it. You've put like four, in your lifetime, you've put like four wet wipes down the fucking toilet. That is literally, I fucking can't stand you, right? Your shit is going in the reservoir. Then, in a genius play, the water companies say, look, there's a problem. We need to sort it. And the way to sort that is for everyone's bills to go up £20. Minimum. All right? Now, don't come at us for that. It's all down to, you know, bureaucracy, governments, not doing the jobs properly. It's someone else's fault, basically. We told Barry not to put wet wipes down his fucking toilet. And he did it. And now the shit's got to go in the reservoir. That's it. Okay, and now we need to seriously clean up our act. And for that, we will be charging £20 more per month. All right? We promised to dump less shit than we did do the previous year into the waters. That is a promise. Honestly, that is a promise. You pay that £20, not as much shit is going in that reservoir. All right? Cheers. There you go. That was a real conversation in my head going on, blurted out for you to all enjoy and watch and listen to. Anyway, sticking with bottles, moving on to the second thing. Oh, bloody hell, we're like 10 minutes in. I spent 10 minutes talking about water. Oh, dear. Anyway, I want to know, and I'll see if I can put it on the screen, right? These new caps on bottles, this is an exciting episode. If you have just tuned in, you have literally, well, that doesn't even make sense. Why would you start the podcast 10 minutes in from the beginning? Anyway, look, if you're wondering where you've gone wrong in your life, listening and watching this podcast is probably, I'd say, 70% of the reason why your life's shit. Honestly. Just speaking from, like, you know, a friend's perspective. Right now, I am your friend. I don't know you. But I'd say that's 70% at least as to why your life is shit. Don't listen to this. Don't. It'd be nice if you did, though. Just to help someone else out. You know, help us out. Do you know what I mean? Cheers. New caps on Coke bottles. I spelt bottles wrong. That is amazing. Where's the image? I can't stand these, man. Just don't understand what's going on. It doesn't make any sense to me, and that annoys me even more. Like, who came up with this absolutely awful idea? Basically, Coca-Cola, you know, a very small drinks brand. Don't know if you've heard of them. Quite niche products. Fanta, Coke, Sprite, you know, those. Some people say largely unknown. They just, they keep innovating, you know. They never stop. I'm going to pop this on the screen for the viewers. Obviously, people who are watching, I'll have to describe it to you best I can. So, imagine a Coca-Cola bottle. Coke Zero is the one I've got in front of me, right? I'll tell you what, why don't I just use the visual aid I have in front of me, which is a bottle of water. Nestle Pure Life, not sponsored. This cap at the top, we're all familiar with how a cap works, right? You unscrew it. You take a swig. Oh, fucking inhaled at the same time as that was going down my throat. And then you screw the cap back on. Simple. Science in motion. It works. Sometimes you get the cap and it doesn't thread properly, and then you think it's closed and it's not, and then some water goes over it if you like tip it, or you're carrying it and you just feel like this liquid running down your fingers. It's like, ah, that's ruined my day. But most of the time it works. If you pay attention, you get it into the groove correctly, you screw it, it's on. Tip it upside down, it keeps the water inside the bottle. It is amazing. Again, 15 or so minutes into the podcast, and I'm telling you how amazing a plastic bottle is. That concept to Coca-Cola was not good enough. It needed improving. And when I say it needed improving, it needed a good dose of what I like to call shithousery. So, for the audio listeners, what Coca-Cola have done, and I'm sure you've seen this if you've had pretty much any Coca-Cola product, you know, recently, they decided, wouldn't it be a great idea if the cap was always attached to the bottle? So you didn't have any of this, oh, you hold a cap in your other hand whilst you drink it with the free, well, not the free hand, but you drink it with the other hand. Cap in one hand, drink in the other. You know, it worked for a long time. But Coca-Cola have gone, you know what? We can improve on that. Here's what we'll do. We will keep the screw cap. That's fine. I feel like the science is solid on that. We probably don't need to improve that. But the part that we need to improve is what happens to the cap when it's unscrewed. Because unscrewing the cap and then having it in your other hand opposed to still on the drinks bottle, that's not acceptable. That needs to change. That needs to change. So what we'll do, we will tether the cap to the little plastic ring that seals the cap to the bottle. So it can just stay there, a weird angle, ready for people to just take a swig and cut all around their nose with the sharp bits where the seal had been broken on the cap. It's great. It's perfect. It works. What's even better is Coca-Cola then thought, this would be great because we could then play it as if we're doing the world a favour by helping with the recycling effort. Because what a lot of people tend to do, according to Coca-Cola, what a lot of people tend to do is they take the cap off the water, right, or the drink, whatever it is, the beverage. They take the cap off. And then, I don't know at what level or what point in time this happens, according to Coke, but somewhere along the line, that bottle cap gets yeeted just into the ether for some reason. They think that people do that. So I personally wouldn't do that. If I've got a bottle of drink and I haven't finished it, I normally put the cap back on, ready for when I want to take another swig of the drink. And if I do finish the drink, in the same scenario, I'm like, okay, well, I've finished now. I'll put the cap back on. Amazing. Ready to be recycled. That's not how Coca-Cola see it. That bottle cap, if it is not attached to where the bottle is originally sealed, around the neck, if it's not attached, if the bottle cap is not attached, it may as well be thrown into the ocean. That's, you know, I'm not, this is not, you know, verbatim what Coca-Cola are saying, but that is the stance they've taken. I just want to let them know, if they are watching, I've spoken to many CEOs in my time, but I don't know if Coca-Cola is one of the ones that really got a lot of time for ATMA. I'm sure there is somewhere a high-level executive in the Coca-Cola board just like, we're going to take this on board, you know. You need to stop what you're doing and just fucking think, why? Why did we do this? It's an innovation that isn't needed. Some people say, oh, well, what about people who, you know, haven't got good grip or good strength in their fingers, or maybe they're missing fingers, or maybe they don't have full use of their hand. And I then say to them, how the fuck do you open the bottle in the first place? I also say to them, surely it's fucking harder to keep opening and closing a bottle with the lid attached at basically what looks like a 45-degree angle. Every time you have to kind of fold it delicately over and then get it in the correct grooves again and screw it tight. Like I said, it was going to be specific. If you're not vibing with this episode, I fully understand. I get it. But I'm sure you'll agree, that is an abomination of bottle design. I just don't get it. It's not, it makes the whole experience of drinking that particular brand of drinks annoying. To the point where, full disclosure, I don't know if I'll get sued for this, but I take the cap off. And they're like, how? How do you do that? How? What magic do you fucking apply? It's called strength. I'll go to the gym. I literally just twist the cap like 3 or 4 times and just pull it off. Do have to be careful because sometimes you are too strong and then your other hand holding the bottle can't counteract the force that is released when you pull away the cap from the neck of the bottle. And then some of it comes sloshing out of the hole at the top. And then you do want to kill yourself. Because then you think to yourself, if I just left it how it was and put up with how fucking shit it was, I wouldn't have Dr. Pepper streaming down my fucking arm. But then you think to yourself, no. You stuck to your principles. You saw a bad design. You saw a bad thing in the world. And you made it better. Maybe only for you. But you made it. You did something. You did something. And that's the main thing. I would completely agree with anyone who, I wouldn't say boycott is probably a strong term, but boycotting a drink because of the way it makes you feel when you're drinking it and the inconvenience it brings to your life, I fully understand why you would probably lean away from drinking those drinks. Fair enough. I got you. Don't worry about it. What, we like 20 minutes in? This episode is absolute shit. Let's be honest. But we're moving on. It's fine. Look, I'm a tough critic, you know? I'm a tough critic of my own work. I'm just saying, these things piss me off. And I'm sure they piss some people off, too. While we're at it, paper straws. Absolute fucking wank. Wank. If you don't drink, but the last time I ordered McDonald's, we'll skip past the bit where they forget the dips because that's just universal, isn't it? It's literally a business built on forgetting core parts of the menu that they serve every day. But it's fine. We're talking about drinks. So, I got a Coke Zero. Last time I got a McDonald's. Comes with a paper straw. Has done for a couple of years now, a few years. I still can't get used to it because I'm not one of those people who, like, just inhales the drink within 5 minutes. I like to keep a little bit of it. Now, just to tide me through, if I'm getting a bit, you know, parched, I'll have a bit throughout the evening. I'm not saying I'll leave it there for fucking 5 hours, but in the space of, like, an hour, I'll probably finish it in about an hour. You leave that straw in that drink for longer than 10 minutes, it starts to basically form a separate liquid within the drink as the straw disintegrates. It's great. It's great. It's one of the best experiences drinking any liquid is when you get those little lumps that you're not too sure. Is that mulched paper? Or is there an insect in my fucking Coke Zero? That is honestly one of the most pleasant experiences in my life, is wondering what has fallen into my drink. Or am I sucking up disintegrated straw? Paper straw. Am I eating paper, essentially? It's great. Another invention that didn't need to happen. I mean, there's a bit more of a case for that one, because people did just take the piss and throw the straws just anywhere. But if I'm being honest, it's not just the straws they'd throw anywhere. They'd throw the packaging and everything. I've seen it a lot of times where people just lob empty McDonald's packaging out the car as they're driving. Because, you know, they're twats. But it's inconvenienced me. My experience of drinking a drink from McDonald's, or, to be honest, any fast food, because all of them do it. Pretty much all of them do it. You know, I went to Five Guys a few weeks ago, and I realised they'd start doing it. I was like, no. No. The one place that I thought would stay away from it adopted the paper straw. To be honest, if I'm being, like, real right now, you could just fuck the straw off and just take the kind of plastic top off the cup and just drink it how you would normally. That could be a solution. No, I'm not just coming to you all with problems here. I do have some solutions, alright? I'm not a madman, you know. Just a very specifically upset person. Now, I don't know if anyone, I mean, this one will go out to the drivers who are listening and watching. If you're not a driver, you can zone out for however many minutes this takes. Might be till the rest of the pod. So, you have been warned. I want to know why people break unnecessarily. That part is needed, because I understand why people break. I break. When I feel I need to break, I apply the brakes. There's a lot of time when I'm driving, and you'll see just this flicker of red light, like someone's almost resting their foot, hovering above the brake. And it's just a light little touch, little blink of a light. You're like, right, why have they just applied the brakes? There's no one in front of them. There's nothing in the road. They're not indicating. There's no turn off. They're just braking. Why do people do that? Is that just something that is like a subconscious thing? Oh, I haven't been braking for the last 400 yards. I'll check if the brakes are working. Oh, look at that. They are slowed down a little bit. Just honestly, that enrages me more. It's the people that do it every so often. Because you always know what happens, right? The person who's inconveniencing you the most when you're driving is always the person who's going exactly the same place you are. So you're behind them all the fucking way. So, oh, I can see a bike. I can see a cyclist. About 1,000 meters away. I'll give my brakes a quick check. Just in the event that I have to brake at any point. in the next 1,000 metres. Because what I don't want to happen is for me to go roaring up to the backside of these cyclists in about 12 minutes' time and then not be able to brake or something's gone wrong. Because I can't deal with that. So I'm going to give a quick check. Yeah, brakes still work. Those people, I wish that I could buy something military to use on public roads. Because I'm telling you, if I had something that could just plow through those people who do that. And I tell you what, I reckon most of the time it's people in cars that are small. Like the cars are small. It's always a small car that's testing their brakes. You know. I'll tell you what, Honda Jazz. Don't know what a Honda Jazz is? Look it up. I guarantee you, if you're a driver or you've been in the passenger seat recently, I guarantee you that person driving that car has braked unnecessarily multiple times on that journey. Guarantee it. Honda Jazz drivers are a menace. A menace. And they're exactly the demographic I would plow the fuck through if I had like a tank, maybe even like an armoured vehicle. I'd just go straight through them. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even brake. I'd just plow through them. They'd try to apply their brakes to slow them down. I'd just push them into a garden. Then fuck off. Let's see them try unnecessarily brake now. Again, is this hyperbole? Am I being dramatic? Or is this actually what would happen? We don't know because I can't afford or legally buy a military vehicle to operate on the roads in the UK. But if I did, we'd find out. There's a lot of things keeping me from prison. One of those is the lack of availability of military-grade vehicles that I can use on the UK roads. UK government, you really do have one up on me there. Yeah, there's a lot of things, to be fair, driving that fuck me off that are quite small. Obviously, the big one, a lot of people hate people not indicating. I don't like that. It's pretty shit. But it doesn't annoy me as much as people braking unnecessarily. It really doesn't. Another big one is... this is petty. This is very petty. But I don't like it when people flash their headlights at you. Especially if it's like at night. I'd rather them, if I like let them through, they flash the headlights, I have an epileptic seizure, and then carry on my journey. I'd rather they just didn't. I mean, there are plenty of people who don't say thank you for stuff. They're like, oh, okay, fuck you, that's all right. But it's just the thought that someone's gone, oh, I'll say thank you to them. How will I do that? I'll blind them. I'll blind them and I'll give them an epileptic fit. It's quality. It's the thought process. It's great. There's a lot of driving ones. I won't go too far on the driving ones because I understand there'll be an audience who don't drive. I get that. So I'll move on to maybe some more general ones. Because I have searched a lot of pet peeves. I've got them of my own, but there are quite common ones that crop up. One that I think is universal that everyone hates is someone who talks during a film. And the reason this fucks a lot of people off is because it takes the attention away from the film. It depends. If the film is utter shit and someone's being funny about the film being utter shit, I might enjoy that. I might. But as a rule, shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. I remember quite a few years ago, I was watching a film called Midsommar, directed by the same guy who directed Hereditary. Hereditary is a truly just a horrible film. And horrible in, I mean, a good way, horrible. It's unpleasant to watch, which is, you know, not the whole idea. But one of the main reasons you watch it is because it's uncomfortable to watch. And Midsommar, while I feel it not as good as Hereditary, very much the same sort of vibe. You're not meant to watch it and go, I fucking love life. You know? I fucking love it. Whoa, what's going on here? Oh, shit, someone's been fucking skinned. Let's go. Oh, someone's getting their head caved in with a mallet. A huge fucking mallet. I fucking love life. But there's a particular scene in the film. I won't go into too much detail if anyone wants to watch it. It's worth a watch, definitely. But there's a scene where it's kind of like a, I want to say like a cult. I can't think of a good enough word to replace that. So I'll use the word cult, right? And they're basically enticing this bloke who's gone to this cult as it's been deemed like a retreat, a getaway. He goes into this cult with a few of his friends and his partner at the time. And he's kind of encouraged to have sex with this girl who's, you know, in this cult. And they have a weird sex scene where every woman in the cult is like moaning, making really weird noises and present as they're having sex. It's entirely designed to make you go, what the fuck is going on here, and make you feel uncomfortable. And I understand there are ways to show and how you like show how you feel. And if you feel uncomfortable, some people don't really know what to do, and they'll talk or they'll laugh. But when we went to watch it, there was someone in the, I think, two rows in front of us. And when I say they were laughing, I mean they were like laughing. It wasn't just like, it was like, I was like, I will boot the back of your fucking head. I will. I understand you're uncomfortable. This film is meant to make you feel uncomfortable. It's not meant to be a feel-good film. You're sat there pissing yourself at a sex scene. Do you know what I mean? That's, to me, that fucked me off. That fucked me off. And it wouldn't have been that bad if it was just like once. But every time they went back to this scene, a couple of times it would cut away and then cut back. It'd be the same reaction. So you've seen it once. You felt how uncomfortable it is. Mere seconds away. And you're laughing at it again. It's not funny. Well, obviously it was to them. It was to them. And the individuals matter, you know. I don't know her journey. I don't know her journey. I just completely assumed the gender there. It was in the dark. It sounded like a female voice. Who do I know? Who do I know? How do I know? Is what I meant to say. Another one in films is fucking eating too loud. These are very general, but these things do fuck me off a lot. The worst offender is like a packet of crisps or like a packet of sweets. Especially if it's like, if it hasn't, if it's like, I feel if it's like a kind of plasticky bag, it's not as bad. But if it's more of a papery bag, oh my fucking God. Oh my God. I can't explain to you how much tension is taken out of a scene when someone's rustling a fucking pick and mix bag trying to get to the last few fucking chocolate raisins at the bottom. It's just like sat there going, tip it out into your hand, you fucking mug. Fucking tip it out. Trying to reach in like some little fucking gremlin trying to fucking finger up the fucking side. Fucking chocolate peanut or raisin. Just tip it out of your fucking hand. That is, you know what I mean? I think everyone gets fucked off at those. Everyone gets fucked off at those. Surely. Unless you are the person who tries to, you know, finger a fucking chocolate raisin up the wall of a paper bag. And it always happens in a stage, like in the film, where it's relatively quiet. A tense scene, maybe something's building up. There's some little fucking twat, like, getting halfway up the fucking ridge of the bag, drops it, goes back in. Yeah, drops it again, fuck. Oh, God, yeah. It's just... Fucking, I'll tell you what. This is why I don't like going to films. I would say, I normally give, if it's a film I really want to go and see, I normally give it at least a week before I go and see it. Because I know there's a good chance that cinemas aren't going to be full or as full as they were a week ago when everyone went to go and rush and see it when it came out. I remember when one of the Avengers films, I can't remember if it was Infinity War or Endgame, one of those, I said to myself, no, I will watch it a week to 2 weeks after it come out. I think the most recent film I did that for was the last Guardians film, Guardians of the Galaxy 3. That came out in early May of last year. I waited until the very last day, pretty much, of May until I went to go see it. And there was still probably like, you know, 30 people in the cinema. But it wasn't as bad. You haven't got everyone who's fucking eating popcorn and, you know, pick and mix and shit. But, yeah. You got to add in there the people who slurp the fucking last drop of the drink. My bro, we're talking molecules. You're sucking up through that straw. It's done, mate. It's done. Put it down or I'll put you down. Put the drink down. It's an empty fucking cup at this point, mate. Don't try this shit about, oh yeah, well if I lean it to the side and get the angle of the fucking straw correctly, shut up. Just put the fucking drink down, or what used to be the drink, and watch the fucking film. Unbelievable. Another one people don't like, which can be attributed to the same setting, loud chewing or drinking. I just said about the person, you know, trying to get the molecules at the bottom of the fucking drink. Loud chewing, I don't know, there is a, is it a phobia or a condition? I can't remember what it's called for loud eating or chewing noises. I don't really have a pet peeve of that. It's more the sound of people, like I said, getting the food from the container to their mouths that I don't like. I often find that a much more jarring sound. It does depend. If, you know, if the person's eating nothing but, I don't know, why you'd bring this or why you'd have it in a cinema, but there's probably an occasion. If someone's eating just nothing but poppadoms, you know, like a really crunchy thing, maybe like, you know, some kettle crisps, just munching the fuck out of them, mouth open for large portions of the film, then I'm going to have something to say. But most of the time, it's not too bad. I don't find that personally that bad. But I know there are a lot of people that do. So if you are one of those people, I ain't shitting on it. I'm just saying, it's not personally one that I'm like, oh my God, I will end this sweat in front of me. But I'm sure there are people out there who don't like it. I must admit that I do this next one a lot, and I kind of find it therapeutic, so you can go fuck yourself if you don't like it. I like cracking my knuckles and my joints, you know. Sorry, I did just do it then, so if you don't like it, there was no warning. But sometimes you don't get warning, you know, you don't get warnings for things in life. I'm just saying, that noise you just heard there, I like doing it, it's therapeutic. To a certain extent. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you got troubles in your life, crack your knuckles, son. That'll do it. It's just a nice thing for me to do. Again, a lot of people don't like it. I would say this next one again. I'm reading from a random list, to be honest. But I absolutely fucking hate this. And it's self-inflicted, 100%. I cannot tell you the level of rage that I feel when I bite my tongue. And when I say bite my tongue, I mean actually bite my tongue. Not withhold what I want to say, the metaphorical bite your tongue. I mean the actual physical biting of your tongue. You know, you're really into a meal, you know, chowing down, and then you just clip your tongue, and it ruins the entire experience. Everything from that point forward is fucked. Everything is shit. I don't fucking want to eat again. Of course I do. It's just a reaction in the moment. But it ruins a lot of the time that I could have spent eating. It's a special sort of pain as well, because it doesn't just hurt you, like, physically. It scars you emotionally for a bit. Because you then change the way you're chewing. Have you ever done that, where you bite your lip, you weren't aware that maybe you were chewing too fast, or you were, you know, trying to gasp for air a bit too much, and then you bite your tongue. You're in pain. You go through the rage of wanting to, like, Hulk smash everything in your, like, vicinity. You get back to some form of, you know, level of emotional stability that you can start eating again. You then say to yourself, I really do not want to bite my tongue again. So then you change the way you chew, and then you bite your tongue again. And that is where fucking nukes can get sent off. I'm telling you now, I would say Putin is two bites of a tongue away from wiping out the entirety of Earth. I could just picture it now. I can picture it. He's at his, you know, daily briefing on his 65-foot table. He's got his defence minister at the other end throwing paper airplanes, you know, a transcript of their conversation. They're that far away. Oh, they're just sending each other messages on Telegram. And he's, you know, he's eating something, bites his tongue. Yeah, he does that, right. Fucking, I tell you what. Writes to his defence minister. Who the fuck cooked this soup? It's too nice. I was trying to fucking eat it too quickly and I bit my tongue. Alec, why am I biting fucking soup? I don't know. Sort it. He takes another mouthful. Adjusts the way his jaw is moving. Again, biting a soup. Biting into a soup. Maybe he had bread with it. Shut the fuck up. Takes another bit of that bread. Dips into the soup. Chews once, twice. Bites the tongue. He asks the defence minister to spend 5 minutes walking down to the table so he could push that fucking code into that fucking computer. And there you go. The nukes have been released. We're fucked. We're fucked because someone in that chain of command chose to make that fucking bread and soup combo so good that Putin couldn't stop chewing. And that's how the world ends. Minor, insignificant event leads to, you know, catastrophe, basically. But that is, in all honesty, if the button was there and I've bitten my tongue twice, I'd have my hand hovering over it, 100%. 100%. I'll tell you what would drive me over the fucking edge. My mum used to do this. I'd bite my tongue. I'd go, oh, fucking, I want to fucking Hulk smash everything, you know. Bite my tongue. Adjust the way I eat. My jaw's now doing semi-unnatural movement. Doesn't feel right. I bite my tongue again. Then this bitch has got the audacity to say, just slow down. Just slow down. Just chew properly. I tell you what, you fucking bitch. I tell you fucking what. If we weren't in the same house, I'd press that fucking button. I mean, we'd be fucked anyway, but I'd press the button. That's the thing that would send me over the edge, 100%. Slow down. Just chew properly. Take your time. Fuck off. Fuck off. Sorry, Mum, if you're watching this. Other than that, great childhood. Cheers. What else is on here? What the fuck? Oh, right, okay. I read that wrong. Unlike me to read stuff wrong. Scraping a plate with a knife or fork. That is annoying, but I tell you what would drive me into a coma. I used to hate nails down a blackboard. Now, there will be people listening to this going, what the fuck's a blackboard? Don't worry, I've got another one for you. Nails down paper. Like a sheet of paper, sheet of A4. I hate the sound of nails scraping along a sheet of paper. It makes me feel sick to the very base of my intestine. I want to projectile vomit every time I hear it. It makes my rectum squeeze into the size of a 5p piece. It just entirely breaks me, and I can't deal with it. I don't know if anyone else has got that same level of hatred for, and you know, nails down. Even the thought of it is making me not salivate. You get that little bit of moisture build up in your mouth just before you are sick. That's what I've got in my mouth right now. That is what I've got in my mouth. That's disgusting. Ugh. Yeah, I don't feel good. I shouldn't have brought that one up. I don't know why that affects me so much, but it really does affect me a lot. It really does. Another one on here that I agree with to a certain extent, I guess. Playing loud music. There's a general rule for this. I don't really mind it. It says playing loud music in public or on public transport. First of all, ignore the music bit. Public transport is enough. It's enough. You know? I can't be dealing with public transport. Can't be dealing with it. Fuck it all. That's enough for me. Like, the depression I feel walking onto a bus. Walking up. Getting onto the bus. Going up to the bus driver who despises life himself or themselves. Paying your money. Showing your card. Showing your fucking, where it is. Your weekly. It's what it used to be called when last time I got a bus. You walk down the aisle of seats. You look at the people in the front. You're like, yeah, pedo. Probably is going to throw shit at the windows at some point this bus ride. You've pissed yourself. You look like you're going to piss yourself. You look like you're going to stab someone. I'll go at the back. Yeah, I'll sit at the back. Oh, that's great. Someone has shat on the back seats. That's great. Fantastic. There's so many levels of, I don't know, just so many levels of things on a bus that make me just never, ever, ever want to go near one again. It might just be where I live, but I feel like public transport has got that kind of vibe because it's just not, I don't know, it's just not, I prefer to be in my own space listening to sounds that aren't, you know, someone in the corner just grunting. I'd rather not listen to someone grunting and rocking back and forth two seats away. I'd rather not do that. And I'd rather get somewhere by going a direct route rather than having to go and stop at other places where more people who look like they have knives and look like they are pissing themselves or look like they're about to shit themselves or throw shit in your face or all over the bus. You know, I'd rather not be in a situation where more of those people are being picked up by the same transport that you're on. So that's why I prefer driving in my own car, because then I can throw my own shit. And I know that my shit is probably not the best shit, but it's my shit. And I feel like you kind of trust your own shit more than others. That's, you know, that's a lesson I live by. It's a mantra of mine. You trust your shit more than you do other people's shit. And I feel like that's a good, you know, that's a mantra to live anyone's life by. But yeah, music in public places. You know, the thing that does fuck me off, I don't really mind that much if it's somewhere I can move away. If it's on like a public transport, then yeah, it's fucking annoying. But hopefully you don't spend too much time with them. If it's like someone carrying, like, where near where I work, there's always some guy who's walking around with a fucking boombox. Okay, firstly, he's not old enough to have ever been of the generation that would have, you know, grown up with a boombox. He's of the generation that finds it hip and cool and whatever boomer word for looking good or cool is, I can use. They're one of the people who want to look like they're cultured. So they go and buy a fucking boombox and then start playing really fucking weird music on it, just walking around town. With it on their shoulder, just walking around town. Why? I don't understand why you're playing, you know, Run DMC. That's not really weird music. That was probably harsh. But I don't get why you're playing the fucking Frozen soundtrack on a boombox. Do you know what I mean? You could probably live track him on a map. He's like the red dot, you know? You know, I'm not going to, you know. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. But yeah, I'm not, unless it's something like that, I'm not too bothered by people playing music loud in public. Because a lot of the time I could just move away. I don't like people who make something bigger than it needs to be. And I understand that this entire episode has been me doing that. I realise that. There's a hypocrisy that I allow myself to have. And that is it. But, for example, you see it quite a lot. People busk, like play music, jam out, whatever, on the streets. You always get that person who walks up to them and tells them to stop playing because they don't like it. And you're like, I mean, you could fuck off over there where you can't hear it as much. Or fuck off down to Argos and get the cheapest pair of noise-cancelling headphones you can get. Or you can fuck off until you can't hear it at all. Or you could just put up with it for like 4 or 5 minutes that you need to spend in that place. And then, you guessed it, fuck off. Is it, like, for me, that's making something bigger than it needs to be. 100%. But, again, if I was walking past someone and I really didn't like the music they were playing, I wouldn't like it, but at the same time, I wouldn't be like, turn that shit off. Because at the end of the day, busking, I think busking is something that you do. I've never done it myself. I would love to have the courage to busk. That is one thing that I don't have the courage for, and that is busking. So, power to you if you busk on any level. But yeah, I couldn't deal with... If someone came up to me and said, look, this is shit, I don't like it, turn it off, and fuck off, I would launch into them, because it is much, much easier for you to move away from me than it is for me to pack everything away and move away from you. But yet, you see it as your given right to request that of me. I'd just antagonize them. I'd be playing louder. I'd start playing more aggressive music. Whatever music they didn't like, I'd now formulate my entire set list around fucking them off. And that's probably not for the best. I'd be on their pet peeve list, you know. Oh dear. This entire episode has been, well, what I set out for it to be, just an entire waste of time. Hypocrisy to the max. But yeah. Let us know down below if you agree with any of the pet peeves that I've talked about. I don't want anyone in the comments to contradict me talking about the caps on the bottles. If you don't agree, that's a problem. I don't know why you need to exist. Look, that's harsh. But if you don't think it's a problem, fucking buy the bottles then. You buy them. Maybe they should make them just for you guys. But I'm of the generation. I'm of the human race who can deal with this, the cap being separate from the bottle. And then, I know, this is high-tech shit. Putting it back on and screwing it. It works. Stay hydrated, everyone. There are other water brands than Pure Life. But Nestle, I do hear they have a relatively bad rap, or did have. I'm definitely not getting a brand deal now. Yeah, be careful of your tap water. There might be some things lurking in it, like shit from the water companies. Make sure you rise against the syndicate of absolute gribos who love the fact that the caps on the Coke bottles are always fixed to the neck of the bottle. Rise up against them, because they're not everyone. We know that the majority of people don't like it. Get plastic straws back in those fucking cups at McDonald's. Get their fucking lids detached, or the caps detached from the bottles. Take me back. Take me fucking back in time. It was a better place to be. You know, I've only ever seen two turtles with straws in their nose. How they got there, I don't know. Some people say they've been put there as a conspiracy against plastic straws. I'm not saying that's true or not. I'm just saying that could be a possibility. Who knows? But anyway, thank you for watching and listening. Oh, God, wherever you are doing that from, I hope you're having a good day. I hope you continue to have a good day. And I will see you in the next one, hopefully with a full-strength team, me, Jordan, and Dan back together, taking another look at that pesky games tier list, I'm sure. So, yeah, that does need to get done. That does, because that is going to be a mammoth episode if I choose to compile all the times we've talked about the games tier list into one episode, which I did for the horror tier list, the horror film tier list, and that was over 4 hours long. Was it over 4 hours long? Or was it over 2 hours long? I can't remember. Oh no, I had to do it in a part one and part two, so I expect that one to be at least 3 to 4 parts. Anyway, thank you for watching, thank you for listening, and I'll see you in the next one. Up the Atma. Bye-bye for now.